Praise the Lord. All right. So I cut myself short, my own fault. But that's okay. Do you feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in this place this morning? Have you noticed that the Holy Spirit, the direct representative of God the Father Himself, the one that knows every single corner of the heart of God, is here this morning? That's wonderful. Now, I want all of us to get into a high level of expectation as to what the Lord will do this morning. We want to talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit, more specifically about receiving the Holy Spirit. And it is a little bit, one could say, controversial. But, you know, this is for you to talk about. When we're going to go home for lunch today, man, I think we should talk about this, you know. So don't blame me who said it. Well, you know, we're just going to be reading a bunch of texts here. But I want you and all of us to examine ourselves as to how much of the Holy Spirit, or how deep I am into the Holy Spirit, how much I can do, or how much I have been doing with the power of the Holy Spirit in me. So we have all agreed from a couple Sundays ago that there is a need for the people in the church to impact society. And that's really what it is all about. You know, we heard it from my dear brother Ed this morning in Sunday school. We are the other tenants in the vineyard of God. The first tenants were the Jewish people who didn't really do their job the way they were supposed to do in spreading out the glory of Jehovah, of Jesus, of God the Father. And so he kind of put them a little bit aside. He put in the new tenants, which is the church, who he said will bring the fruit. That means you and I, we will actually bring the fruit in this world. We are called for it. We are called to it. And the Lord has capacitated us through his Holy Spirit. So we are the ones now. Now, that's not mean that the Lord is done with Israel. He is not done with Israel yet. There is still, there's another chapter that he has to do that was going to deal with Israel. But that we leave for another time. So anyway, we are here today to impact society. We are also here to somehow show the people that we are actually genuine people. We are whom we are. We are truthful. We are people can trust us because we believe the Lord and we will not lie. And if we lie, well, then we have to make some adjustments. You know, I sometimes feel myself as, you know, sometimes I speak of things and, hey, I think I exaggerated a little bit. So it's kind of like a small lie. But there is no such thing as a small lie. It's a lie, it's a flat lie, and it's a lie. So let's not lie. So anyway, the people want to see in us that we are genuine, that we are truthful people. And we also, of course, we are people in this church, or in any church for that matter, in the Holy Spirit, to show power. We need to show power. Because the power has been given to us. It's not just natural, not just in the flesh, like we were talking last Sunday here, or a couple Sundays ago. We are to show power, not our own, but the one given by the Holy Spirit. And of course, if we have the Holy Spirit, and we know that the Holy Spirit is directly from God, and He knows everything about God, we know that God is love. So one of the main things that will show the world that we are filled with the Holy Spirit is going to be going to love and care for people. Love people. It's about these living creatures that walk out there driving these nice fancy cars. We got to love them. We got to love people, care for people. People that are suffering, we got to be with them and love them and care. So we talked about who the Holy Spirit is. He is the one that understands everything about God. He is the advocate. He is the teacher. In fact, he will teach us to pray. By the way, he does teach us to pray. Might talk a little bit about that later. He is also the reminder of the things we have read. He is the convictor. He is the convincer. He is the empowerer. He is the sanctifier. He is the one that puts in that little finger in those little dark spots and say, hey, you got to fix something here. There are certain things, certain attitudes that you have. They are really not compatible with kingdom people. So he is the one that leads us towards fixing certain things, small or big, in our own lives. And those are some of the things that the Holy Spirit, he does way more than that, but I'm just summing it up a little bit here. But I want to talk today about receiving the Holy Spirit. That might come kind of, that's the controversial part of today. How come, if I am a believer, are you saying that I don't have the Holy Spirit? No, it's not exactly what I'm saying. No. First of all, receiving the Spirit is an experience. Every time the Holy Spirit is received by somebody in the book of Acts, we know that it was an experience. Not just inferred, just by the fact that a person start believing, all of a sudden it's automatic that you have the Holy Spirit. Well, we know that you and I, we need the Holy Spirit to actually convict and convince us of sin and to lead us into Christianity, and we have become Christians, followers of Jesus Christ. It's the work of the Holy Spirit, yo. So I would say, yes, you do have the Holy Spirit in you. But what we do with certain texts that I'm going to read here this morning. In the book of Acts, a person knows when he receives the Holy Spirit is an experience with effects you can point to. In fact, receiving the Holy Spirit is also visible. Acts 8, 9 to 19, we have Simon the sorcerer, for example. You know, just read from verse 18 here. And when Simon saw, pick this word, saw. He saw. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, give me also this ability so that everyone to whom I lay my hands may also receive the Holy Spirit. So it is a visible, it's visible, it's an experience. Then we have further in the book of Acts, after the Holy Spirit had already come at Pentecost, one could assume that he had come everywhere and to everyone who had become a Christian. Well, let's check the text. And I'm reading now from chapter 19 of the book of Acts. That's what it says. Starts from verse 1. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived in Ephesus. And there he found some disciples, and he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? He answered, no. We have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. So Paul asked, then what baptism did you receive? John's baptism, they replied. But Paul said, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them. And they spoke in tongues and prophesied, and there were about 12 men in all. So we are talking about an experience after Pentecost here. This had happened already. Pentecost had already happened. The Holy Spirit had already come. And all of a sudden, these people here, they were already believers in John. They were believers now in Jesus. And then the Apostle Paul, he lays his hands on them. So the situation is that Paul has come to Ephesus and found there some disciples who, as it turns out, only knew the baptism of John the Baptist and have only been baptized in the name of Jesus. Paul then detects something wrong, and he breaks the whole thing open by asking the key question in verse 2. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? See, we have here, all of us are believers. Can I hear an amen? We are believers. Now let me quote here from a good pastor. Who has heard from Pastor John Piper? Have you ever heard of Pastor John Piper? You should check him out on online. He's a great preacher. It's quite famous out there in south of the border. It's a little bit of a long quote, so please bear with me. Isn't this quite an odd or remarkable question for contemporary North American evangelicals? Have you not been taught, by and large, that the way you know you have received the Holy Spirit is that you are a believer? We have been told that you can know that you have the Holy Spirit because all who believe in Jesus have the Holy Spirit. One could say that this is a logical inference. So if you want to know if someone has received the Holy Spirit, we would ask, have you believed in Jesus? If the answer is yes, then we know that the person has received the Holy Spirit. Receiving the Holy Spirit is a logical inference, not an experience to point to. So we would simply believe that at the very moment, the day we receive the Lord Jesus, of course, we have the Holy Spirit, now we have everything, we just got to move on. Nothing really has changed. We felt maybe some joy in our hearts, but we still kind of kept maybe at home in our own house because we were a little scared, which was the case of the disciples too. They were followers and lovers of Jesus, but they were kind of scared until the Holy Spirit came. Continue on his quote here. So if the answer is yes, then we know that the person who received the Holy Spirit, receiving the Holy Spirit is a logical inference, not an experience to point to. But Paul's question isn't like that, is it? Paul says, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So we scratch our heads and say, well, I don't get it, Paul. So if you assume we believed, why don't you assume we received the Holy Spirit? We have been taught that all who believe receive the Holy Spirit. We have been taught to just believe that the Spirit is there, whether there are any effects or not. But you talk as if there is a way to know we have received the Holy Spirit different from believing. You talk as if you could point to an experience of the Spirit apart from believing in order to answer your question. And that is, in fact, what Paul talks about here. When he asks, did you receive the Spirit when you believed? He expects that person who has received the Holy Spirit, he knows it not just because it is an inference from his faith in Christ, but because it is an experience with effects that we can point to. Now that is what runs all the way through the book of Acts. It's possible to sum up all Luke's ways of describing the coming of the Holy Spirit. There are seven words or phrases he speaks of. First one, the Holy Spirit being given to people as a gift. That's in Acts 8 and other references. Number two, the Holy Spirit falling upon people. Number three, the Holy Spirit coming upon people. Number four, the Holy Spirit being poured out on people. people receiving the Holy Spirit, as we point back to Pentecost, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit. All these ways of describing the coming of the Holy Spirit are found in 6 stories or instances in the book of Acts, and in every one, the coming of the Spirit is with experienced effects. So the point is this: whether Luke expects these kinds of effects to happen in one initiatory receiving of the Holy Spirit, or in a 2-step process with baptism in the Holy Spirit after conversion, or in an ongoing sequence of fillings, or some combination of these 3, one thing is clear. Luke expects the receiving of the Holy Spirit, no matter how we receive him, to be a real and identifiable experience of the living God, not just a logical inference from a human act of will. End quote. So you and I might be thinking, well, you know, but I am a Christian so long. We're talking about a time in your life where the excitement, the joy, which is beyond the joy of regular Christians, comes on you. We are talking about an experience that goes beyond the regular. And it might be a first, a second, or a third, or a fourth experience. But the Holy Spirit is needed, and we learned that from school, from even this morning. We need the Holy Spirit to actually move us forward in our Christian walk. It is important. We are not able to do anything in the kingdom of God without the move of the Holy Spirit. So now you have to, and I have to, kind of look back in our own lives and say, well, is there any time in my life where I really sense the Holy Spirit? You all of a sudden you notice it was not from me, because I did not get that wisdom. Somebody in me triggered me to do or to say certain things, or made me sing a song in the shower out of the way I had never sung before. Or whatever it is, an extra joy from the Lord's presence himself. And that, you, those are the things of the move of the Holy Spirit. Your regular thing as a Christian, and I, you know, I'm a regular guy. I'm more the regular type. But when you teach, when you go out there, when you witness, and I have experience with myself, sometimes I have witnessed to people, I had to drag myself, and I kind of did not even feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, by faith, I believe the Holy Spirit was with me. But sometimes, I notice a flow of wisdom, a flow of something that it was not in me, all of a sudden triggers me to do or to say things. And somehow the disciples, they were believers in Jesus, but they had not really the courage to go out. It is an extra power that fills your life at moment, and not at all, it does not happen at all times, because you, well, at times you're sleeping. Can you be filled with the Holy Spirit? Now, the Holy Spirit works in you, especially, does basically a couple things. It will glorify Jesus Christ, and it will empower you to witness. And it will empower you to lay hands on people and pray for people in a special way. So when we do our ministry as church, first thing we have to do, Holy Spirit, fill me. I realize I can't do it on my own. I need your power. I need your anointing. So dear friends, for us to bring a fruit, to bring fruit in the kingdom, we need the Spirit. We will need His power. And we are talking about the manifestation of the power of God in our lives. And He will empower us to be joyful. When you lose your joy, you gotta get it from the Lord. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with your joy. If you are in the process of losing your joy, it's when the Holy Spirit kicks in. Oh, Holy Spirit, fill me again. It is the Holy Spirit. So that empowers us to be joyful. Joy for being saved. As simple as that. You know, a love for the Father, a love for Jesus, a special love for Jesus. Who triggers that? The Holy Spirit. He empowers us to become more Christ-like. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 18, "And we all who were with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." Yes, He empowers us to evangelize the world. There is not necessarily a promise in the book of Acts that everyone who receives the Spirit will speak in tongues or will prophesy. But there is a promise in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, verses 8, that when the Spirit comes upon us, we will receive power. Can you repeat with me? Power. When the Spirit comes, bang, it's power. It's power for you to do, for you to teach, for you to get the wisdom, for you to get the revelation of the word when you read it, for you to be filled with joy that you would be attracted to people. That is the Holy Spirit. I can assure you, that is the Holy Spirit. So when the Spirit comes upon us, we will receive power. And in this power, we will be able to evangelize the whole world. Yes, sometimes it does come with speaking in tongues for some. It comes with the gift of prophecy for some. It's great. It comes with the free and overflowing praise of God's greatness. Have you ever caught yourself in praising God and for some reason you can't stop it? Let's say you are in the shower. And you are praising God. I praise you. I praise you. And you can't stop it. That's the Holy Spirit. I mean, He's fantastic. He does that. So I want to assure you, all of us here have the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we need to allow that the Holy Spirit will have us. We have the Spirit. Once we are baptized, once we are immersed in the Spirit, then the Spirit has us. Yes, we know that the Spirit of the prophet is submissive to the prophet. We understand that. But the Holy Spirit wants to glorify Jesus. The Holy Spirit wants to make the world know about salvation, about Jesus, about what He has done. But we do have a problem. We like to resist the Holy Spirit and go back to our old same. We like to go back to the flesh thing. We like to the idea, well, I'm a good person and I'm a good Christian, I'm a good churchgoer and I'm a good giver. And not saying that you are not. Just saying, if you want to be empowered, extra empowered, then you deal with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes on you. And I know the pastor is looking at me right there. I know he has felt this extra moves of the Holy Spirit in his life. And I do believe that everyone here has, at one point, some extra energy, gas, to do the will of God. So it comes with the gift of prophecy for some. It comes with free and overflowing praise of God's greatness. It comes with obedience to the commands of God. All of a sudden you feel, I have to obey the Lord. I have to obey. I have to obey. It's the prompting of the Holy Spirit leading you there. And it comes with courage and boldness to witness. And yes, it brings the working of various gifts. Hebrews 2, Galatians 3, Acts 6. And as I already mentioned, he empowers us to love and care for people. That you need an extra power as well. Because you could enclosure yourself and care about yourself. But by the power of the Holy Spirit in you, all of a sudden you feel the desire of helping others supernaturally. It's not naturally in you that you want to do this. This will happen because you are triggered by the Holy Spirit. And as I also mentioned already this morning, the Holy Spirit searches the deep things of God. Could someone answer me who God is? He is love. And if you have the Holy Spirit in you, and the Holy Spirit is the one that is connected directly to the deepest parts of God, you will be able to walk this world, this walk of faith, in a glorious way, loving people. Because it's the sparks of the love of God in you makes you love people. Who does it? The Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 to 16 says this. These are the things God has revealed to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thought except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit whom is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given to us. Now this is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. Verse 14, and the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness, and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. Certain things you cannot discern in your intelligence or your knowledge acquired by the University of Toronto. Certain things you will have to somehow get from the Spirit. He will reveal certain different things. More superior things, better things, moving things, because they're going to get you moving. If the Spirit is behind you, it's like a fire. You just go. Verse 15. Now the person with the Spirit makes judgment about all things, but such a person is not subject merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Just read from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 to 16. So how can we receive the Holy Spirit? Ephesians 5. Well, first of all, the idea is kind of not get involved into the things of the world. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. You and I, we need to be filled with the Spirit. And one final verse I'm going to read today. Luke chapter 11, verses 12. Now this is the story where Jesus is talking about to keep on praying. I'm just going to read verse 12. Chapter 11 of Luke. Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? Verse 13, so if you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? See, we are talking about Christian people here. These are Christian people. And they have received the instruction from the Lord Jesus himself to ask for one of the most important things that you can ask for in the kingdom of God, and that is the Holy Spirit. So if you think, well, I already thought I had the Holy Spirit. Well, you had the need or the help of the Holy Spirit to lead you to salvation. And this is not about salvation, dear brothers and sisters. You are saved because you confess Jesus, not because of the things you can do or not do. You are saved because what the Lord Jesus did for you. That's why you're saved. Now, if you want to act in the kingdom, working in the kingdom, you can come to the Lord after you are 30, 40, 50 years and being a good Christian, a good churchgoer from the missionary church or from the Mennonites. Doesn't matter. When you pray, you can come to the Lord and say, Lord, I need the Holy Spirit. And Jesus here, he infers that the Holy Spirit is something that is a good thing that you can ask to the Father, and it's a good thing that the Father can give to you. I would even go a little further in this text. You could even say that this prayer is one of the most important ones that you can ask to the Father. One of the most important things you can ask to the Father right now is, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In fact, we could do this prayer at all times. Might be the first filling, the second filling, the third filling, the thousandth filling, doesn't matter. But you can pray and ask because the Lord wants to give the better gifts, the most important gifts, and this is one of them. You ask for the Holy Spirit. May the Lord give it to us. May the Lord direct our path and our prayers and lead us so that we could be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ask for the Holy Spirit so that we could actually be active and bring fruit, be fruitful in his kingdom. Shall we pray as the group comes up here? I think the group comes up, right? Of course they come. Praise the Lord. To wrap it up here, we need to ask ourselves, did I receive the Holy Spirit when I believed? You can say, yes, I have seen the spirit of obedience at work in my life, subduing sin and inclining me to acts of love. I could also say, yes, I have received the Holy Spirit. I have seen the spirit of praise in my life, filling my heart and my mouth with worship to Jesus and God the Father. You could say, yes, I have received the Holy Spirit. I have seen the spirit of courage at work in my life, overcoming fear and giving me a will to risk things for the cause of Christ. You could say, yes, I have received the Holy Spirit. Even though I know that speaking in tongues and the gift of prophecy are no sure sign of God's grace, yet together with other evidences, they too are a precious evidence that the power of God is in me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know you want to lead us this morning to pray a very specific prayer. That we would be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would send the Holy Spirit to us. Because you said it's a good thing. Some people will say, no, the Holy Spirit just brings confusion. Well, but we don't believe that, Lord. We believe that the Holy Spirit is indeed a gift that leads us to find out more about you, even the deepest parts of your heart. Leads us with an extra joy. So as we worship this morning, as we worship you, and through the week, we pray that you would help us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen.